Thank you, Jesus, and thank you, Pastor. I truly am humbled and honored to be able to stand before you tonight, and I'm excited about what God is doing through prayer in the church. These truly are exciting times, and all that we're seeing and feeling is definitely as a result of God's people praying. It's a promise in the scripture. When my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then shall I hear from heaven. And I will heal their land. Praise God. And that's exactly what he's doing. It is the time of revival, and prayer is propelling us into those dimensions of revival that God has ordained for the Pentecostals of Orange Park and for every soul in this city that shall be saved in that awesome name of Jesus. I am just thoroughly captivated right now at the presence of God, what he's doing. Sorry, y'all, I'm not as high tech with have to use paper notes. And I've already kind of gotten them out of order, so give me a second. Okay. Yes, thank you again, Pastor. I really appreciate it, the confidence that you've had in me over these years to allow me to be in this place. And it's been awesome leadership. That's how it's happened. And for this module, this is the final module of the Deep Calls Unto Deep series for now, and I can't think of a better module to end on than prayer. Everything begins and ends with it. And I'm thankful for all the participants that have brought us that word. It's been a wealth of knowledge, and it's really, really helped us to grow in our walk with God. As Pastor mentioned, he introduced the final module on prayer last week, by establishing the primacy of prayer. What an awesome foundation he laid. The necessity of prayer and becoming a worshiper of God, and the priority of prayer and growing in our relationship with God. And he also explained the depth of prayer, which includes deeper faith, trust, love, and depth in prayer that comes through our understanding and our revelation in that ongoing relationship. And then he also took us by a line-by-line look at the doctrine of prayer that Jesus gave his disciples in the model that we call the Lord's Prayer, Matthew 6. And it clearly reveals to us that prayer is grounded in relationship and that it begins and ends in worship. Having said that, and you may be seated. I'm so sorry. Y'all have to help me. Not used to this. So tonight, let me just say, prayer is such a privilege because God, who is the one by whom all things have been made, the one who transcends all space and time, the one who is infinitely wise and all-knowing, and the one who has the power within himself to do absolutely anything, and who has angels worshiping him 24/7, he wants to have a relationship with us. Does that not blow your mind? That's an amazing thing. Amen. And he extends to us an invitation to come into fellowship with him. Prayer is truly amazing because for me, it's kind of like a grand adventure where it's full of surprises, unexpected twists and turns, revelations and discoveries, quiet moments of listening, all these things that are leading me into a greater dimension and a greater depth in prayer, as Pastor shared, along with, of course, reading his word, studying it, and hiding it in my heart. Given that prayer is so amazing, we have to ask the question, why is it then sometimes so hard to pray? Is there anybody else who's ever felt that it was a challenge, a struggle to pray? Maybe you felt uncomfortable in prayer or in a prayer setting. Sometimes we do struggle to pray when we are uncomfortable in our relation, in our prayer position. So if that's the case, then it should be a desire for us to figure out what's making it uncomfortable. And a goal should be to change that, amen, to get comfortable, right? And throughout the context of this, you understand comfortable doesn't mean complacency. It doesn't mean you aren't subject to conviction. It doesn't mean that you aren't willing to be challenged. But just finding that little niche place in your prayer life, your prayer walk with God. Since prayer is crucial to our relationship with God, we want prayer to be something we look forward to, right? Amen. Amen. When we are uncomfortable in prayer, it behooves us to identify the source. And God wants to help us here. Then we can do what's necessary to remove that hindrance. There are many things that can become a hindrance in our lives. And we're going to look at several of them, but not all of them, because there are so many. And there's one area in particular that we are moving towards that I want to try to emphasize, and I hope that I'll be able to convey it well enough. Excuse me. But definitely, we can start out saying that having unconfessed sin in our lives can make us very uncomfortable. And it should, right? Because we can grow in our relationship with God while we're holding on to sin. That's why it's so important for us to repent daily. Psalm 66:18 says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. So if we don't deal with our sin, our hearts are going to want to condemn us. And when we are feeling condemned, it's very hard to pray. But thankfully, God is greater than our heart. And when we confess, He is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us, He says, from all unrighteousness. I want that. I sin. I'm human. It happens. It's unintentional most of the time. But you recognize it and you deal with it. Amen. The blood covers our sins so we can continue to stay in fellowship with God. Everybody say, the blood is enough. Blood is enough. Hallelujah. All right, another thing that might make us uncomfortable is unforgiveness. If we have unforgiveness in our hearts, we're going to be kind of squirmish. God's going to make it that way. Because we ourselves cannot truly be forgiven of our own sins until we forgive, according to Matthew 11:26. We must allow the love and the mercy of God to flow within us, right? So that we can forgive others. If not, our own sin remains, and it's blocking our prayers from reaching God. And if you have prayers being blocked, that's a very uncomfortable feeling. It's terrible to feel that your prayers are just bouncing off the ceiling and going nowhere. And our relationship is hindered. Prayer is very uncomfortable in this place. And the goal here, remember, is we want to be comfortable in prayer, because where we're at right now as a church and as individuals, God is truly, truly pulling us, tugging at us, calling us to such a greater depth, such higher heights and dimensions. And it's necessary to be able to accommodate what's waiting for us in this world. So another area of uncomfortableness is when God doesn't seem to answer us, or He doesn't answer us in the timing we want or in the way that we want Him to answer us like we hoped He would. Then we start getting a little uncomfortable in prayer. We don't like God too much when He's telling us no. That's honesty. It could be that a spirit of ingratitude has crept into our hearts, and we are in direct conflict with the will of God. Because according to 1 Thessalonians 5:18, it's in everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Another reason we struggle and feel uncomfortable in prayer is because we aren't praying on a relationship basis. He's our Father. When you spend time getting to know someone, it's easy to talk to them, right? Talk to them about anything. What they like, share what you like, what they don't like. Usually you know the things that's on their hearts, what they care about. Jesus said in Matthew 11:29, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls." I think we've heard that. So God's reiterating. Sometimes a good heart-to-heart with a friend is all you need to refresh your soul. And we must spend time daily reading, studying, meditating, and talking to God. It's a relationship. We have to have a relationship basis to be comfortable. In Jeremiah 33:3 says, God says, "Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show you great and mighty things which you have not known." Sometimes a simple word of revelation breathes life and vitality over your life and over your prayers. So we want to do that. We want to be in relationship so we're comfortable with God. There's so many others, and I had printed a list, and I'm not going to go through them all, but I intend to copy this and make it available in the foyer along with some of the other prayer guides that you'll be seeing during the 30 days that can maybe help us, you know, while we're trying to consecrate and dedicate ourselves to a greater level. So take advantage of those. Avail yourself to whatever you can. And I don't care how new or how long you've been in God, and how much of a relationship you might think you have. There's always growth. And if you already think that you got it all figured out, then you're already in a bad place. So let's don't do that. Let's take advantage of this season that we're in. Because God's going to do mighty, mighty things. I want to be a part of it with everything that's in me. So we may also feel uncomfortable in prayer if we lack understanding about our prayer gifting. And this is kind of where I really wanted to try to go tonight, or our anointing in prayer. And that's the niche, that little niche place that we fit in and feel. It's the certain function in the body of Christ because of our giftedness. And this shows up in our prayer. Every one of us has been uniquely created by God and bestowed upon with spiritual gifts. When you enter in, according to the Acts 2:38 message, and you come into that right relationship, you receive gifts. And they're resident in you, and they get stirred up in you, and they operate through you. So I think this is a good place of a word of warning, because there's such a lack of understanding sometimes among us in this area. We don't know our gifting. We don't know how our prayer gifting works in us, or maybe others don't. And so we feel constrained to start praying in a specific way, like maybe somebody else's way, for example. And when you do that, you'll feel uncomfortable. It's not normal. It's not natural. It's not relationship-based prayer. So what happens if we're doing this, that we might fall into the temptation of comparison. That can be a big issue. And on your sheet, comparison is the snare of the enemy. And where God is taking us again, and how he wants to use every willing vessel, we can't afford to get tripped up by starting to compare ourselves as we see things start to manifest and operate in each other. We need to recognize them. So while we're looking at someone else and assessing and measuring ourselves by prayer, we risk opening the door to pride, to intimidation. Comparing ourselves with someone else can invite strife and envy into our hearts. It can corrupt our motives. And essentially, it's going to stop the flow and the function of that prayer gifting. And that's intended to add overall effectiveness to the body, its function, its ministry. So we ask the question, what are prayer giftings? They are important in our prayer life in the church because they add to the overall effectiveness, like I said, to the whole body, its function and its ministry. That's what they help us do, these giftings. But before we answer what they are, I'm going to give you an example of gifting, how it might show up in our personalities. Because I think this might help paint a picture for us to help us see it and understand it a little more clearly. So, okay, I'm on my way to church, right? And I've been asked to stop and pick up a cake because after service tonight, we are going to have some refreshments, a little bit of fellowship. And I go get the cake, and I drive here, and I come to the church, and I start to come in and come across the threshold of the door out there at one of the entrances. And I hit the little plate thing because it's raised a little, and I trip. Don't trip, but I stumble, and I drop the cake. I drop the cake. Our response? We like to eat. We like fellowship with food. I'll say everybody would be like, ah. Okay. All right, there's people standing around when this happens, and one comes running over and says, oh, Sister Debbie, are you okay? And then she says, don't worry about this. I'll clean it up. Probably a gift of mercy is working, right? Another person comes over and says, I know right where you got that cake. I'll run down there right now and get another one and be right back. To me, that sounds like maybe the gift of administration is working. Somebody knows what to do. All right, another one says, you didn't see that, did you? You better be careful next time. You'll fall. Could it be the voice of the prophet? might be. Finally, one last person comes up beside me and says, you know, that's a peculiar little step there at the door. You have to cross it slowly and keep watch where you're walking. That should keep you from stumbling the next time. What gift might be working there? No guesses? No. Maybe the gift of teaching? You want to teach me how to not stumble the next time? All right, so this is just a little lighthearted example, right, to show us the different gifts. But you get the idea about how we might manifest giftings in our personalities. Sometimes we need the prophetic voice, and sometimes we need the voice of mercy. And all this is given to the church for everybody to profit by as the body functions and operates in these gifts. And you might be thinking right now, I still don't really see what the gifts have to do with being comfortable in prayer. So I'm going to help you, hopefully. Just help me. So it might help if we go into the scriptures on spiritual gifts and prayerfully study and ask God to help us with our understanding, because Paul wrote to the Corinthians church, right, in chapter 12, and said that he would not have them ignorant concerning spiritual gifts. So it's our duty and our privilege to read the scriptures, study them, meditate, pray, ask God to reveal and give us understanding in those things. And we just had a module where Colin broke down the gifts of the Spirit for us. So it should be fairly fresh. And you can go back and take that sheet out and use it when you do your study. We just recently did that study, and it should be fresh. I already said that. We look at Ephesians 4, 4 through 11, at the gifts given unto men. And in Romans 12, which lists motivational gifts, or the gifts that cause us to do something. For example, prophesy, teach, exhort, give, show mercy. And also at 1 Corinthians 12, which tells us that there are diversities of gifts, and differences of administrations, we act differently, and diversities of operations, that's how we work. And verse 8 through 10 list all the manifestation gifts. For example, the word of knowledge, the word of wisdom, faith, gifts of healing. All right, so these gifts will manifest on your sheet, generally speaking, in our personalities, and show up in our prayers. This is prayer gifting. As we learn to recognize our gifts when they show up in prayer, then we can learn to pray more comfortably and more effectively, individually and collectively. We're recognizing this. Instead of when Sister Debbie is in the corner weeping and sobbing and groaning her eyes out, and Brother Cox is over here marching back and forth and praising God and magnifying his name. If we're not familiar with the gifts, we don't understand what's happening in each other, we might start to feel uncomfortable thinking, maybe I shouldn't be doing this right now, or maybe I'm supposed to sound like that instead, or, you know, it could confuse you. So we want understanding, and it's to gain a place of comfortableness in our prayer life, not just individually, but corporately, as we grow collectively. As we do this, the things that are going to begin to manifest and happen among us, which I feel that tug, I feel God trying to draw it out of us, trying to lead us, but it isn't happening without our consecration, without our dedication. God wants us to respect the things he gives us and use them rightly to reach a world. So that's what happens. And as we recognize and pray more comfortably, we're going to grow and become stronger in prayer. And if we're seeing results like we are now, some of the prayer meetings that we're having, what's stirring up, I can't even imagine. I can't even imagine what's going to happen. The Bible tells us that we're a royal priesthood. And the priest's job is to take God to the people and the people to God. So in this, we become bridge builders. And we build that bridge through what? Through prayer. And if you remember in the Old Testament, the priest had different jobs in the tabernacle. They cut up the sacrifice, they light the candles in the temple. They work together. They work together. Likewise today, when we all work and pray together, comfortably filling our own little niche in the body, where we're flowing in the unique gifting that God has given us. And in this place, we truly are standing in Christ's stead now to fulfill the whole body in action here on the earth. And since our giftedness shows up in our personality, if we pray comfortably in our relationship with God, then we can expect that that's where we're going to find a flow in prayer. It's where we're going to feel the unction of the Holy Ghost in prayer, where we may receive a burden from the Lord to pray what he wants us to be praying about. And if everyone can get to that place together, that unity and power in prayer, just imagine what we could experience. I know we haven't tapped in yet. And I don't know that we ever arrive to the place until Christ comes back, but but there are dimensions. There are levels that we can go to. And I'm hungry for that. And I want God to deal with me. I want to feel the conviction. I want to understand what's blocking my relationship and making me uncomfortable when I come into a prayer meeting and everybody starts to pray, and for some reason I just can't seem to get in the groove. I want to figure out why. And I want to do what I'm supposed to do. God's good. He's doing some awesome and amazing things. So let me give you one more example. And this should help kind of illustrate gifting in our personalities, showing up in our personalities as we pray, and how it's important to recognize and understand these differences as we learn and grow together. Let's say a prayer leader is in her office at the church, and she checks her email, and here comes an urgent prayer request. So she prints it out, and she goes to the pastor's wife, who is there also. And they both stop what they're doing, and they begin to pray together. And the prayer leader starts doing business, so to speak, with God. She begins to tell him what the need is, and telling him what needs to be done, pacing back and forth, and giving God specific things that need to be done in this situation, right? And the pastor's wife, she drops straight to her knees and began to magnify God and worship him. And you are awesome, God. You are wonderful and so powerful, Jesus. How glorious you are, mighty God. And so the prayer leader, not knowing, the one doing business with God, right, looks over at the one on her knees as she's pouring out an adoration to God and thinks to herself, what in the world is she doing? Doesn't she realize the urgency of this need, of this request? We need to pray. We need to pray now. Perhaps this is the gift of administration showing up in this prayer leader, right? It wants to get things done and knows how to do it. So administrators are usually like, you have something that needs to be done, I'm going to get it done. Or they're saying to someone else, do it now, get it done. So that gives you an understanding maybe of how we have these gifts, and they will manifest through our personalities, and they will show up in our prayer. So instead of thinking that we are necessarily out of order because people are doing different things, we can begin to understand a little better, oh, this is just diversity. This is a different manifestation of a particular gift. And when I start to understand that, my spirit, it's pulled to it. It's drawn to it. You know how when we get close to each other, Josh, the spirit of intercession, it just has its way. It just does that to you. We start learning what complements each other, what helps while we're praying. So let's embrace it. Let's ask God. If you already kind of have an idea what your giftings are, where you're at in that, ask God to show you more. Ask him to help you use it the way he wants you to use it, and be available and willing in whatever way he wants to start using us together. Is everybody excited about pray? I can't wait to see what all God has got for us, the spirit of restoration that's working, because we're looking out right now and there's chaos. Crises are happening. Even in our families, in our situations, things are breaking up. Things are happening. To me, that's process of restoration, because God can't fix what's not acknowledging it's broken. So we are going to that level. We're getting there. Prayer is the vehicle that's taking us all to that place. And I want to know everything I could know and be involved in everything I could be involved in. And I want to see all of us do it together. In Jesus' name. So let's say a prayer right now. God, we thank you that you have created us all with these unique qualities and given us gifts, Lord, to benefit the body and to be in service and ministry, Lord, to fulfill your kingdom come and your will be done on this earth. We know, God, we are imperfect vessels, but here we are confessing, Lord, that we are hungry and desperate. We are believing with everything that is in us, God, And we want you to lead the way. We open our hearts, Lord. Speak to us. Let us receive, God, by revelation, that understanding and that knowledge that's going to take us into that dimension that you are propelling us to. Let us yield to the calling. When we feel that tug to pray, let us not be afraid. Let us not be ashamed. But let us be willing, God, whatever it takes for you to change us and use us the way you want to. In Jesus' name, amen.